brought to you by Penguin.
After the Fire by Jane Casey. Read by Caroline Lennon.
And among other things, the poor pigeons, I perceive, were loath to leave their houses, but hovered about the windows and balconies till they were, some of them, burned, their wings, and fell down. Samuel Pepys's Diary, the 2nd of September, 1666.
1. There were 224 residents of Murchison House on the Maudling Estate in North London. And on a cold, grey, late November day, not one of them was expecting to die. Some were hoping to die, some were waiting to die, but no one actually expected to die that day. Murchison House stood 11 stories high, an uncompromising slab of cement social housing that dated from the 70s, and looked it. 5 other tower blocks of varying sizes stood around Murchison House, like siblings in an unhappy family. The estate loomed over the surrounding houses, the narrow streets of Victorian terraces built for the working classes that had been slowly, painfully gentrified. Murchison House was never going to be gentrified, bulldozed perhaps. In another city, another country, the views would have made it a desirable place to live. But it had taken Londoners a long time to embrace high-rise habitation. Apart from the Maudling Estate, there wasn't a tall building for miles. That meant the inhabitants of Murchison House could see a great deal of London, and a great deal of London could see Murchison House. And to at least one person in the building, it felt a lot like torture. Drina was very familiar with torture. It was afternoon, around 4, she guessed. She sat in the corner of a room in a flat on the top floor, as the grey sky darkened outside the window, and the day slid away. She sat on the floor, on a mattress, with her legs stretched out in front of her, because there wasn't anywhere else to sit. There was the mattress, and a lumpy duvet without a cover, a hook on the back of the door, and a mirror nailed to one wall. There was a big window with an aluminium frame that didn't fit properly, leaving gaps for the wind. The window itself was locked. All the windows in the flat were locked. Every now and then, Drina reached up and tried to open one, almost as a reflex. Someone might have forgotten, or the window might have broken. These things happened, she'd heard. Mistakes. Opportunities. These things happened to other girls, though. Drina was never that lucky. Although, what she would do if the window was open, she didn't know. Shout? But they would hear her before anyone else did. The flat was bugged. Even when they weren't actually inside the flat with the girls, someone was nearby, in another flat, or in a car parked below. Close at hand. Cry for help, and the only attention she would attract would be the wrong kind. It wasn't worth the risk. What did that leave? Jumping. It was a possibility. Sometimes she felt like jumping just to be free for a couple of seconds, just to get to decide one tiny thing in her life. Drina lit another cigarette from the butt of the one she'd been smoking, then ran her fingernails through her hair. It felt brittle. The bleach was killing it. But blonde was popular with the customers. There were 2 other bedrooms and 3 other girls in the flat, but they wouldn't try to talk to her. It was too dangerous to talk. It was too dangerous to be suspected of planning to escape. Drina had heard, the men had told her, the last girl who tried to escape hadn't made it out of the tower block alive. She'd left it in a suitcase that was carried to the boot of a car and driven to a riverbank near an industrial estate. They hadn't found her body for weeks, the men said, laughing. Months. Her face was gone, eaten away by decomposition and the river rats. Her fingerprints had disappeared along with her flesh. She'd never been arrested, so there was no DNA to match to her.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?